And you're welcome back to the programme. Blue Origin, the rocket company founded by Jeff Bezos in 2000, called off a second attempt to launch its 30-storey New Glenn rocket. The vehicle had been slated to get off the ground early yesterday, but the company waved off that plan so engineers could work to address a technical issue with the vehicle. I'm joined on the line now by one of our regular contributors, David Moore from Astronomy Ireland. David, good afternoon to you and a very happy new year to you.
And the same to you, Aidan, and all the listeners.
Now, just explain to us, most people probably have heard of Elon Musk's attempt to get to Mars and further afield. I have to say I hadn't heard about Blue Origin, so maybe you'll fill us in on the detail of this.
Yeah, I suppose Jeff Bezos is, him and Musk are always vying for the world's richest human, but he doesn't get involved in perhaps such quirky pursuits, shall we say, as Elon Musk does. Yet, he set up Blue Origin a year before Elon Musk set up SpaceX. So we all know, hope we all know, Jeff Bezos is the founder of Amazon.com that many of us will be using. And he's actually passed the administration, the running of that over to other people now to focus on his space dreams. And Bezos is as interesting a character as Musk. I love telling kids in schools that they were just ordinary people like you or I who got involved in the internet, got involved in business as well. Musk set up PayPal, that made about $1 billion. Jeff Bezos, we all know, set up Amazon, which became a $1 trillion company. And he's been reportedly selling about $1 billion of his Amazon stock a year, which is a tiny fraction of its worth, to fund his space company. And when he was graduating college to go on to university, he gave the speech to his school at the end of it that he thinks everybody should go and live in space. We should treat the Earth very carefully and do all the heavy industry up in space. And he's literally putting his money where his mouth is. They're technically competitors, but they seem to be getting on quite well. They stood up on stage and the two of them said that they're going to put 1 million people on Mars by the end of this century. So here we have two young kids interested in space who went on to set up big businesses and now come back to their real love, astronomy and space, and they're running these two huge space companies, with both of them getting $1 billion contracts from NASA and doing lots of other things in space as well, notably putting up all these internet satellites. We've all heard of Musk's Starlinks. I think he's got about 7,000 of them up there at the moment, more going up every week. And Bezos, Amazon has got its, I've forgotten the name of it, Kuiper, that's it, Kuiper system of internet satellites as well. So huge things are happening in space, and this is his new rocket, the New Glenn rocket that can lift really heavy payloads into space. It'll compete with the Falcon 9 that SpaceX have, but the Starship one that Musk is building is going to be even bigger again. But the New Glenn one we're talking about this week, that's hopefully going to be launched now on Thursday, can carry, I think it's about 50 tons of hardware into low Earth orbit. These are serious contenders.
And what are they trying to achieve, do you think, David? Is this ego? Is it, competition at the very highest level? Is it two powerful businessmen who are two of the wealthiest men in the world competing with one another? What's the thinking behind it?
Money. They're businessmen. They intend turning a profit in space. Non-astronomers, people in the finance business have said they expect the world's first trillionaire, because I think they're only worth a quarter of a trillion at the moment each, the world's first trillionaire is expected to be a space entrepreneur. So this particular mission, the first one is always a bit risky, so they've got sort of test spacecraft on board. But I believe that Blue Origin has signed contracts now with telecommunications companies, governments, to launch their satellites for them. So there's a big demand for launch capability. We do it here in Ireland. We're a member of the European Space Agency. It's a very commercial-based operation where aerospace companies in Ireland and from all over Europe build these big launchers as well to get people's satellites into orbit for a buck. So, you know, you can't stop people launching into space because there's too much money to be made. The last I heard, the internet-based space communications market is about at least $40 billion per year. So that's a nice big market to be chasing after. And it's not just Bezos and Musk who are after it. There are big consortia as well. I think Boeing have a system planned, and other financial groups have come together to build internet satellites as well. So there's just so much money to be made in space, you can't keep people out of it. It's a bit bad for us astronomers here on the ground, because we now see more satellites crossing the sky than we do meteors. And they can be real vermin, especially in the early evening when the sun catches them. You'll take a photograph that used to be a nice clean picture of perhaps a comet in the evening sky, and now you've got five or six satellite tracks on every frame. It's only the middle of the night that they vanish. And it's becoming a serious problem for research astronomers who are building billion-dollar telescopes, and 30% of the work they've estimated is going to be ruined by all these satellites.
The fact that the New Glenn rocket did not blast off in the early hours of yesterday morning as intended, will that damage the reputation of Blue Origin, or is this just one of the things that can go wrong and it's kind of par for the course, perhaps not par for the course, but you know what I mean, that these things happen?
Yeah, I don't worry personally too much about it, because there's always going to be glitches with these hugely complicated systems. And we're getting close to the power of the Saturn V rockets that launched men to the moon back in the 60s and 70s. And I remember one statistic of those was that it would pump an Olympic-sized swimming pool worth of fuel through its rocket motors in 20 seconds. Can you imagine emptying an Olympic pool in 20 seconds? And, you know, it's rocket fuel that you're burning at extremely high temperature. So the pumps and systems engineering in these rockets are incredible. It takes a while. The fault with the Monday launch seems to be some ice forming on a power unit, which is a fairly minor part of the whole system. But that's enough. It possibly would have even worked had they launched, but you just don't risk it. If you can fix it and wait a few days, that's what you do. Because people are looking at putting their multi-$100 million satellites on your rocket. The last PR you want is a thing going up and blowing up in space, or failing to get to orbit even. You still lose your satellite that way. So they want a nice, clean, perfect launch to assure customers in the future that this is a safe rocket to use. SpaceX has been doing a great job. They have very few failures, which is good to see. And now they've put people on board their rockets as well. And Bezos, you know, they have the Shepard rocket that's taking people up into space on suborbital flights. So you just go up, you don't go in, you don't go around the Earth, you come back down to Earth. People may remember William Shatner, Star Trek Captain Kirk, going up, and how he waxed lyrical when he landed a few minutes later, having been in space for a few minutes. And he's selling trips, I think, for $400,000 a time if you want to go up and for a jaunt for a few minutes. And ultimately the plan is, and this New Glenn rocket will go into orbit, can actually go out to geostationary orbit, where things like our Sky TV satellites are, and lots of other satellites as well, monitoring the Earth. So this is a really full industry-capable rocket that Blue Origin has produced.
And interestingly, this is a busy week for spaceflight. I was just reading earlier that a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket carrying two lunar landers is set to take off from NASA's Kennedy Space Center on Wednesday, I think in the early hours of the morning Eastern Time. And SpaceX is also due to kick off the seventh test flight of its Starship rocket on Wednesday as well. So a very busy time for space travel.
Yeah, the one thing about Bezos and Musk, they're very serious about this, their space companies. I mean, at the bottom of it, I think they all do want to have missions to Mars. They've already got missions funded by NASA to go to the moon. Blue Origin, Bezos' company, is going to build the lander that will land on the moon in just a few years' time for NASA. And SpaceX has got the mission to take the rockets to the moon as well. So NASA, it wants to subcontract out to private industry a lot of the work that it does in the future. It means that people can go off and make money launching commercial satellites, and then the high-profile missions that we know NASA for, there's a nice industry of rockets out there for them to select from. They don't have to develop everything from scratch themselves anymore, and that's the way they see the future. And that will mean the price, hopefully, of space access will come down one day. We have people like Richard Branson, British billionaire, who also has a space company, and he's launching people on suborbital flights again. And they're trying to get into the commercial cargo market also. So, you know, you're going to see space developing enormously in the future. I think we all think that the human race's destiny is amongst the stars, and this is how it happens. You have government bodies who can only afford to do it at the beginning, and then when you start mass producing things, you get the cost down, and it becomes commercially viable. It's how we all have airline travel all around the world today.
Before we finish, David, you were Mars watching yourself, I think, in the course of the night. Just tell us a little bit about that before you fill us in on what courses are available this winter, spring season.
Through our members' emails, we've been telling people to get out and look at Mars. And last night we had the wolf moon, big full moon. God, it was actually painful to actually look at. But right next to it was the planet Mars. They were closest around 4 a.m. I stayed up to watch that. We got some cracks in the clouds and got some photographs. I could see detail on Mars and the telescope and the craters on the moon next to it. It didn't pass in front of Mars this time. It will on February 9th, so make sure you get the February issue of Astronomy Ireland magazine for that, because the next time the moon will pass in front of Mars from Ireland is 2039. We're running a big Mars watch on January 22nd for people at least in the Leinster area, and you know, you can see Mars with the naked eye easily, and if you've got a telescope, you'll get to see the surface detail. So go to astronomy.ie, check it all out. Venus is in the evening skies as well. This Saturday it passes extremely close to Saturn, another great sight to see with the naked eye. And there's Jupiter up there as well, because you have this big planet parade that's coming. And at the end of the month, early February, Mercury joins, and you'll actually be able to see every single planet in the evening sky. Quite a rare treat in the coming weeks. So, you know, join Astronomy Ireland. Don't miss out. There's so much happening in the sky, especially this year. 3 eclipses coming for Ireland this year.
Very good, David. We leave it there. As always, many thanks indeed for joining us on the programme this evening. That